3, 2, 1.
This is kind of like Mission Impossible meets tequila meets...
Do one more. Can you do one more?
Oh, God.
So far, you're 100% right. It's exactly...
Denny Terrio's Dance Party.
Oh, nice.
What? You pulled off the triple crown. The show is 18 seconds old, and you've already pulled off a hat trick. Good for you. Well, hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy.
I've been a big concert goer lately.
You have been.
Badfinger. I first of all started seeing The Who a month ago.
Whet your appetite for more live music?
Kind of.
Did that say, I got to get back out and see these shows live?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Badfinger at, I just said Badfinger. Yeah. I don't say that.
That's the name of the band.
Oh, it sounded weird to me.
No, that's their name.
Bad Company is who I saw. I got my bads mixed up.
Two different bad bands.
And that was at Naperville Rib Fest, and then went to the City Winery to see John Sebastian, which was fantastic. But
what can beat the combination of rock music and ribs? If you get those, if you have those working together, that's a good night. Rock bands and ribs together in one night?
It was almost called Rock and Ribs, I think.
Rock and Ribs, they used to call it.
Can I tell you, we didn't get any ribs.
What?
I know.
Why?
I don't know. It was really hot that night, and I didn't feel like getting all messy.
Yeah. It's Rib Fest.
Yeah, you almost have to by the name.
I know, but I have to tell you, when you're going to I love fests.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
And there were certain, you had to park kind of far away and then walk to where the bands were.
Yes.
And there's a sidewalk, and there are groups of people walking four across.
Yes.
When you come up to somebody, don't you go single file? I know we've discussed this before, but I was a second away from just ramming this girl. Like, she didn't even move. Then there was a woman with a stroller.
What happened there?
And Jim and I walked on the grass.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a stroller.
You give way.
I guess I kind of expected, thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. What's wrong with people?
What's happened to us as a society?
Don't you go single file when there's one sidewalk and you have a group? We went single file. Why can't they?
We played by the rules.
I'm going to just start checking people.
Roller derby. Think roller derby.
I kind of did, Steve, as we were walking by. I really did.
What would Big Shirley have done?
Come on, there's a sexier name than that.
No, I think that was a real lady.
Was it really?
Big Shirley. I remember a lady doing roller derby named Big Shirley, yeah.
Was she big?
Shirley.
Yeah.
All right.
But you played, to your credit, you did the right thing.
Well,
single file.
I just am worried about you out in public.
Frankly. What? No, seriously.
No, because you're either arresting people or
Why didn't you pull
that
way?
Fighting people.
Hey, this is we live in a single file world, ma'am. Come with me. Why didn't you do that?
Was it in Nashville you punched a vendor or something? What was
no,
that story?
She told me I wasn't fun.
And then you punched her?
And no, I can't remember what I did.
I said,
I'm not fun, really?
Yes.
And then I think I swore at her.
Yeah.
That still comes up when my kids are mad at me and they're like, that lady in Nashville was right. You're not fun.
Still now?
Yeah.
4 years later?
Oh,
they're
yeah.
Still pulling that out?
It happened last week. And I am fun.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
getting more
you
fun.
You proved it.
Especially when you have your badge in your hand.
Right.
All right. Right. While I'm on my soapbox.
Yes. What else do you have for us?
I was looking forward to going out with my girlfriends last night for dinner. I had told you we're trying this new place.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they have teppanyaki places mm-hmm. where they perform and they make your food
at
and
the
there's
table,
a
table side.
Yes,
yes.
This, I believe, was a ramen place. So in the center of the table is like a burner,
uh-huh.
and you can pick what kind of broth you want, what kind of meat and vegetables, and you make your own ramen.
Oh,
well, I say
sounds
I
good.
Thought that's what it was because when we walked into this restaurant. And I'm not going to give the name. I was looking very forward to going to it. I told you about it.
Yeah, I know.
We get in there. It wasn't very crowded. Not a lot of people in the parking lot. And then...
Always a good sign.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
It was early.
You know a restaurant is good if very few people are attending that restaurant.
The grandmas were going out at 5:30, okay? It was a weeknight.
Oh, all right. It was, to their credit,
good.
It was
yeah.
early.
Right.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Not dinner time yet.
All right. I get it.
All right.
So, again, keep in mind that it's 5:30. So we go in and there's a drink menu, pretty much just beer, wine, and sake.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked and said, I'll take a Corona. And she said, we're out of Corona. Mm. I said, oh, that's a bummer. Okay, I guess I'll go Bud Light. And then my other girlfriend said, I'll have a Bud Light as well. The waitress comes back and says, we only have one Bud Light.
What?
And I said, well, this is a problem.
Yeah.
Right away. I'm sorry.
All your drink options are gone.
And it's 5:30.
Not a good sign.
Exactly.
Not a good sign.
So then I had a Tsingtao beer, which was actually pretty good.
Yep, Tsingtao. That's good stuff.
So I had one of those. Our third girlfriend then arrived, and we informed her we're not staying here. Why would you stay there?
No, it started out badly. You're right.
So,
Because then if it gets worse, you say, we knew from the beginning this wasn't good. Why didn't we do something?
And we don't get together that much, but I just thought that was a bad sign.
It was.
I know they're there for the food, but it's beer.
Yeah.
And there was a liquor store next door. I was tempted to say, could I just go buy some? And could you pay for it?
No, well, that would have been
kidding.
A tough sell.
But again...
But you're right. Could they have denied you that if the first two drink options were unavailable? I think they...
And then they ran out. We have one Bud Light.
Mm.
That's not... It's not even my beer of choice, technically, but I would have...
Maybe
would have
there was
sufficed.
A run on Bud Light broth at the ramen.
I don't know what it was.
Right, and they were using it for broth.
They could have. It's good that way.
But I was hearing Justin Kaufman explaining this morning that a lot of the restaurants that are in Chicago, if it works, they put it in
Taste of Chicago?
Naperville.
So I will say it
was in Naperville, and there is one downtown, and I'm just very bummed because I wanted to try it.
Where did you end up somewhere
yes,
that was good?
We went to a bar that had Saganaki, and I got to tell you, it was just as good as Greektown.
Yeah.
We had cold beers.
As intended by the Lord.
Yes.
He wants the beer to be cold.
We had Saganaki, and then as I'm thinking about, yes, Steve.
You had it at a bar?
So well,
I'm thinking of like the Tombstone Pizza Oven they used to have at bars.
No,
like
this is a bar. I guess technically it's a bar restaurant.
Okay.
Type thing.
Yeah.
Because they had a pretty extensive menu.
Yeah.
But I just was laughing as I was driving home thinking four girls, we've been friends since sixth grade and high school, some of them. And the combination of things we got just cracked me up. We got Saganaki, which is, I mean, they had the whole opa and the iron pan and the brandy on it or
and
bourbon.
It wasn't really a Greek taverna restaurant.
No.
It wasn't
no,
any of those.
Tavern, just
no?
a tavern.
Yeah.
And they squeezed the lemon on it, and it was just as good as
Greektown. Sure, it sounds good.
And then we split some chicken wings. We split a patty melt four ways and split a steak wedge salad four ways.
Yes.
And then I'm just kind of laughing at the weird combination of what we had.
We had a little bit of everything.
But it was good.
Yeah. So this ended up being a blessing, the fact that
it was. I just really wanted to try this place, but it seems like no one does anything right anymore.
Oh.
They don't walk down the sidewalk properly.
What's happened to our world?
I don't know.
Back in our day, Wendy.
Yep.
We knew how to walk down the sidewalk.
But when we were younger.
Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
Right. I miss him.
Yep.
When we were younger, I'm sure we walked down the sidewalks in a big group like that.
Yeah.
But when you came across like... Older
Someone
people.
Older?
Right,
you gave
right.
away.
You did.
You said, I have to be on my best behavior now. There's an older person.
Right, because they may fall and break a hip.
Yes. She might know my mom.
That's right. it. That's
right.
true.
If but, she's at the beauty shop next to my mom and this comes up, I'm going to look bad.
This girl was in her 30s and should have moved over. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you. I think so, too.
So we need to be respectful.
And you were the bad guy in a situation where you shouldn't have been the bad guy.
She did give me a dirty look, which that's why I wanted to just
Do you think you could have taken her?
Oh, totally. She was tiny.
Why don't we still say that as adults? Remember when you were a kid, you would say that about a kid in your school?
I could take him.
Hey, how about Mark Nevin? You think you could take him? You'd just say something like that. You'd never say that as an adult. Hey, Ryan Burrow was walking down the hall. You think you could take him?
Yeah, no one could take Ryan.
No. I just use that as an example.
He's much tougher than he looks.
I know.
He packs a wallop, I'm sure.
He does pack a wallop. We'll take a quick break. And then there's a lot more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
With me.
To this during the crosstalk with Justin, we've lost somebody from the world of show business whose name is not that well known, but the role that she's most famous for is extremely well known. Denise Nickerson was one of the five kids who were lucky enough to get a golden ticket and walk through Willy Wonka's chocolate factory 1,000 years ago.
Jealous.
So jealous. You and I talked to her a couple of years ago over the phone. I was lucky enough to have her in studio. She and three other of the kids, only the boy who played Augustus Gloop was unavailable that day, but I had
How
the
did
other
you
kids.
Survive? No Augustus Gloop in your life?
I said, I want the kids, but make sure Gloop is in on this. And they go, we'll get you Gloop. And then at the last minute, Gloop was unavailable. His plane was late landing from Hamburg. Which you would imagine, that would make sense,
yes.
Right? Where's Augustus Gloop? Well, his plane is late from Hamburg. You go, oh, that's, yeah, that's par for the course.
But that's just funny.
They were such great, I mean, they weren't kids anymore, obviously.
Right.
We've all grown up. But it was so nice to talk to them. That movie means so much to me. In my lifetime, with all the movies I've ever seen, there's only been two cases where I've seen a movie one day and said, I need to see that again immediately, and gone back the next day. Napoleon Dynamite, the other one, by the way. But with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, I just sat in the theater so happy and so mesmerized by what I was watching. And, you know, she heard it every day. Those kids that were in that movie, there wasn't a day that went by that somebody didn't stop them and say, I can't tell you how much that movie means to me. So they had all heard it, but they acted like it meant a lot to them to hear it. So thank you for that, you guys.
Willy Wonka actress Denise Nickerson, we reported yesterday that she was taken off of life support. She had a stroke about a year ago and had been on life support. Her son Josh and his wife Jasmine announced the news via Facebook yesterday. They just took off all the equipment. None of it was helping, but making her only more uncomfortable. We're telling her it's okay to let go. The 62-year-old had been taken off a respirator, no longer receiving medication. She, of course, best known for her role as...
Oh, Violet Beauregard in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. She, of the five kids, had the most show business work. You know, the boy who played Charlie Bucket, Peter Ostrom, is famous for One and Out. He did that movie. He was so great in that movie, and everybody went after him for other movie roles. And he just said, no, I'm not interested. I did
a
movie.
I wonder why.
Just never appealed to him after that. Isn't that strange?
Because
He was so... I mean, when you watch him in that movie, he's great. He's
Which one
so
was
good.
He?
He was Charlie, the main Charlie Bucket.
He never went on to anything
he
else?
He didn't make another movie, TV show, anything. He was done.
If they remake it, you should be Charlie. I know they remake it.
Yeah, they remade it a couple of years ago, and I might be a year too old now.
Well, now here's the new concept.
Yeah.
Charlie as an adult.
You have no idea how much that appeals to me. I would love that.
Well, write a treatment or whatever it's called.
He now runs the factory.
Yeah.
I mean, Willie gave it to him in the end. Sorry, spoiler alert if you've not seen the movie. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know.
I think you should write something and put yourself in it.
To her credit, in addition to being in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, she was also on The Electric Company for a couple of years, and she was in Dark Shadows for a couple of years.
Okay.
The great soap opera, gothic horror soap opera, Dark Shadows.
All right, I remember everybody on Electric Company.
Yeah.
I don't remember her. She was one of the main people?
Yeah.
They
would, every year there were, you know, a bunch of kids, some younger, some older.
Yeah.
And they would kind of rotate them year by year by year. And she was one of the kids.
Oh, she was one of the kids.
Yeah, yeah, not as an adult.
Not a Rita Moreno or a Morgan Freeman or...
No. They stayed pretty constant. The adults on Electric Company were on for almost the entire run, but the kids, they would kind of swap in and out from time to time.
That's when I knew I was going to be a rebel.
Because
a lot of the kids were watching Sesame Street. We might have been a hair too old for Sesame Street.
Yeah.
But then when the Electric Company came on, that was the cooler,
was
hipper version of a kids show.
Yeah.
It really was good. Puck.
Right.
Yow. Meow.
Yep.
Oh, I loved
that
show.
On.
And then Zoom kind of brought me back down to being a little nerdy because it was kind of nerdy, but I enjoyed it very much. I had the Zoom catalog. I still probably have it somewhere.
Yeah, they had those like blue t-shirts, light blue t-shirts. Remember the Zoom shirts?
No,
I don't remember.
Were they maroon colored or blue?
I think they had various colors.
Yeah,
guys.
Okay. I'm thinking of the blue.
Oh.
It was like my medalist sports camp shirt I had.
Oh.
So you watch Zoom as well?
Oh,
Steve?
I love Zoom. I wanted to be Zoom.
Oh, my God. I did too. Then there was Nina with the guitar who never wore shoes. She was like
none of them wore shoes.
02134.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boston Mass.
02134. Yeah. You got to take your typewriter, pencil, or pen. And if you make a mistake, you got to do it again. That's what the lyrics
taught us. Oh, and send a Sazy.
Yeah.
A stamped address self envelope.
Yes.
Oh my God, those are just bringing me back to my childhood.
I'm sure we can find those on YouTube, right?
Let's try and find some of the Zoom cast.
All right. One of my friends from college was one of the kids from Zoom.
Get out!
And he won't talk about it for anything.
Why?
I can't tell you what it does to him. Like, our mutual friend told me about him, and he goes, you know, he used to be on Zoom. And I went, no, he wasn't. And he goes, yes, he was. And I went back, and he was. He was one of the Zoom kids. And when I brought it up to him, he looked like you punched him in the head. He just stared at me like, don't bring that up.
Was he from Boston, Mass?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when I really wanted to be on TV. I thought
it was because of Zoom.
I thought I could add to that show, and yeah. I didn't know how to get myself on it.
But isn't it sad that you could do something? Like, all right, you know that I was on The Magic Door for a couple of years.
Doesn't compare.
It doesn't,
I'm sorry.
It doesn't compare.
I love you, Bill. But
no, it doesn't. It doesn't even
room,
compare.
Zoom, Zoom.
No, it's not.
Zoom is in there.
We stole that from Zoom.
Oh,
we stole that directly from Zoom. But I know it wasn't great. But if somebody stops me and goes, "Yeah, I remember you on that show," I'll certainly talk to them about it. But my friend, whose name I cannot say because he would kill me if I put her on the air, he just wouldn't talk. It made him crazy. The fact that he was on it.
All right, Tracy Tannenbring. No,
I'm not. If
John Covey.
Even if you say the name, I'm not going to.
Nina Lilly, Kenny Pierce or Pyers.
Now those are you're talking original Zoomers.
Yeah,
right
this,
there.
That's he wasn't the on the cast. Original.
He was not one of the first seven.
Wasn't there a Timmy?
There was
John Joe.
John Rooning.
Yeah.
Joe Schrand.
Nancy
Tates.
Yeah.
I only remember Nina. You are crazy.
I remember
and Bernadette. Wasn't there a Bernadette?
Yeah.
I'm Bernadette.
And she'd make her arms go in weird directions.
Yeah, I still do that. It works at parties, trust me.
Wow. What's wrong with that lady in the corner? She's moving her arms and she doesn't have shoes on.
Tommy White.
Yeah, Tommy was the tall, sensible Zoomer.
Oh, I remember Tommy.
Yeah. Thin, very pale.
Yeah. Yeah. But in this day and age of nostalgia and Stranger Things going back to the 80s and other shows going back to the 70s, why in the world is there not a Zoom reunion? Well, can we be behind that?
Yeah, you know, I just Googled it. It looks like there was a remake.
There was.
Yeah, that was
and
lame.
And it failed miserably.
Right.
It did not work. Because why do you think? Is there a reason?
It was a different time. There was probably too much competing with it. It was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Too much other stuff on TV.
Yep. That's all true. Everything
is. Oh, my God. Remember the Zoom recipes?
Yeah.
They'd make like a Waldorf salad with fresh apples.
Right.
They were like hippie kids.
Hubby Frabens.
That was Ubby Dubby.
Hubba Lubbo Stubba Eve.
The official language of Zoom.
Yubba Subba Wubbas.
Steve, I know Wendy already knows the answer to this, but I'll throw it out to you. Do you remember the concept of Fannie Dooley from the show Zoom? Do you remember Fannie Dooley at all?
No, I don't remember Fannie Dooley.
Fannie Dooley. Which one? Oh, I can't remember which way it goes. She loves fruit, but hates cherries.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is so fun today.
Right.
You're
do you remember this at all,
me.
Steve? Do you know what this means?
No.
You don't remember?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll let it sit for a little bit. We'll take a break. We'll do some news.
All right.
Yeah, and then he can try and figure it out. Could you give him another Fannie Dooley?
Yes. She loves bright colors, but she hates balloons.
Oh, that was
good. Was that a good one? Yeah. All right.
Steve's going to look it up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. It was a game they played on Zoom, and they would never explain it.
Right.
Because every episode, they would give you a couple of these Fannie Dooley things, and you'd have to figure out. And most people would just go, well, Fannie Dooley is just obviously psychotic. There, I've solved your riddle.
I figured it out by myself.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it took like
it takes a while
many episodes.
Yes.
Fannie Dooley loves vegetables but hates peppers.
Yep. Accurate. Yeah. Steve, are you getting it or not? Still not?
No, I'm not getting it.
All right.
Sorry to hear that. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
It's kicking me off a little bit. Yeah.
I know. It's very fun. I'm having an enjoyable day today.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll give you some news, which will be done in Fannie Dooley style. It's never been done on the radio before. Stick around.
Steve likes Wendy.
What?
That's as far as I can got.
No, but keep going because you'd be right on this
one.
No,
it's Steve. The love is the first one, right?
Yeah. She loves Wendy.
He said hates.
But, oh.
No, I said likes.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem right there, Wendy.
I hear things differently.
But right, Fannie Dooley would love you but hate me.
Yes, exactly.
So I was going to say that in total jest, but that's it?
It's accurate. Yep.
This is going to bug him all day. Please, no one text or call or do anything. Just let this steep for a while, and then we'll explain it.
All right. All right. More show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. At some point when you were watching Zoom, did you go, my name's Wendy, and
yes.
Do a whole bunch of crazy poses?
I thought Tracy was really cool because she had the shag haircut that I kind of was into.
Yes.
Yep. I really thought there was a Timmy.
I don't remember a Timmy.
I know. I must be wrong, obviously.
I think you may be thinking of the long Chevrolet newsboy.
Oh, yeah. Extra.
Yep.
It's weird because Fanny Dooley likes Timmy but hates all the other Zoom members.
Yes.
Oh, actually yes. Not. She likes Timmy but doesn't like Tracy.
Yes.
Can I tell you that my kids used to come home with like word puzzles and things from school?
Junior Jumbles?
And it was the one thing that could really make me flip out.
I can tell that you're very... have you Googled
these...
this?
No, I didn't, but I just hate
several
things.
Several texters are on your side, Steve. One of them, I don't get it. I feel so stupid. WTF are you guys talking about? This is... somebody said, has marijuana already been legalized?
Only in the studio.
No, I don't mind it, but I don't like teasers like that, trying to figure them out. I just don't enjoy that.
I love them.
Now, we have to say...
I was wrong.
Our interpretation of this is kind of reversed. We were talking about a segment on Zoom called Fanny Dooley, where every week they would mention something that Fanny Dooley likes and something that she doesn't like. Sometimes they would do two or three of those in one show, but they wouldn't explain it. You had to figure out what Fanny Dooley's story was. Why would she like certain things and not like certain things? We were getting it in reverse. You always wanted to start out with what she didn't like or what she did like. How were we doing it?
We were doing it backwards. She doesn't like, I don't remember. She loves the one thing, but hates the other thing, and it's the opposite.
Like, for instance, you said she loves Wendy, but she hates Bill, but it should have been the opposite.
Yeah, she likes you and hates me.
Yes.
And it's not hate. I think we made it strong, love and hate. It's just she likes Bill.
But she doesn't like...
Wendy.
Right. She likes Google, but she doesn't like Facebook.
Right. Yes, she does.
Right?
That's wrong.
It's the opposite?
Facebook.
Okay, I got it.
Oh, right. Oh, you're right. All right. Wow. I've been spelling Facebook wrong. Right.
So you really figured it out from that?
I think it has to do with the letters, right?
It has something to do with the
letters.
You
read the texts.
I did not. Would you stop it? I just
Steve can figure it out on his own.
It did take us a while.
I might be wrong.
All right, what do you think it is?
So you like the earlier letter in the alphabet and you dislike the later one?
No.
Oh.
That is not it.
So see? Apologize, Wendy.
I'm very sorry, and I am very happy that we put out a little puzzle because I know how much you hate them now. I always lived for these kind of brain teasers.
Yeah.
I really did. I had a book of brain teasers, and I would spend, that was pre-internet, so you couldn't cheat and figure it out.
Right.
Keeps your brain healthy.
It does not.
Didn't work for me.
With Zoom, do you think they were just doing the show in Boston and somebody at WTTW or somebody at PBS would have said, hey, this is good enough to go national. Why are we just showing this in Boston? Let's show this all over the country. Because it had a very Boston-y feel to it.
Yeah, and it was they would always say, what is it, WGBH? What was it?
Yes.
TV station production?
At the beginning and the end, you would see their call letters and their logo. And the kids all had a New England-y accent.
That's why I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, that
and
was...
they smelled like chowder. We had a TV that had the ability...
Smell-o-vision.
It was smell-o-vision. RCA
well, your dad had a furniture store, so you got things before the rest of us.
A couple years early. Yeah.
That was the first season, though, because if you notice, Bernadette was not in there.
Right. It was one of those shows that every year they would retain some cast members, but then they would also get a couple of new ones. So
it was like the poor man's Mickey Mouse Club in a way.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But it was way better. I'm sorry.
More up to date. No. Cubby, Karen, Annette, all the, no.
It's weird because Fanny Dooley likes Cubby, but doesn't like Tom.
Oh, my God. So I just texted my son Noah. He would come home with these starters.
And what's the starter?
And they were like logic puzzles. And they'd say, the man stood at the front of the class and everyone died.
Oh.
And then you have to figure out what killed them. And these kids would start their school day and they would, you know, figure it out. So then they'd come home for dinner and they'd do, and I just could not take it. I just.
Was this every day, Steve, or just every once in a while?
Only when they really wanted to get at me.
And they knew it bothered you?
Yeah.
How did he die?
I just made that one up.
Because there was no logic behind that.
I'll get one from him tonight because he just texted me. They were called starters, but
yeah,
they were just very weird. Like, you know, a guy ordered soup and the lights went out. What happened? And then you'd have to figure it out.
Oh, I could see where that could get to you.
I love it. I'm going to be thinking about how the guy died and how the soup, what happened to the soup?
The soup had a fly in it.
Oh.
That one's easy.
That's your standard soup thing.
Yeah. I just made the whole thing up, but those are just examples.
Wendy, first girl crush was Tracy on Zoom. I wanted to be her. So did I.
Yeah.
Because the shag haircut, and she was just kind of, she was a hipster.
Right.
Back then.
Right.
And
why weren't they wearing shoes? That was the one thing as a kid. I went, guys, just put some shoes on.
Because it made it folksy and cool.
Is that
why? They were just hanging out in somebody's house. That's what we should do.
Right.
Not wear shoes.
No, I want to put shoes on.
You wear shoes in your house. That's right.
Yeah, I do.
Somebody said, I forgot, Bill, that you were on the magic door. I actually just built a tiny little house shaped like an acorn in honor of you.
Those houses have little to no resale value, those acorn-sized houses.
Fanny Dooley likes pasta. No, see, they're doing it wrong.
The opposite?
Fanny Dooley likes noodles but doesn't like pasta.
That would be accurate.
That's
and we should tell listeners, we will divulge the answer to this. We don't want, because Steve just jumped out of a window, and I don't want listeners to be doing that.
Splash.
Fanny Dooley likes steeping, but she doesn't like tea.
Yeah. Yep. Is any of this helping, Steve, or making you madder?
Well, nothing's going to help at this point. I've zoomed you out.
Fanny Dooley likes hobbits, but does not like Frodo.
Oh, yeah. All true, every one of those.
Boy, most people get it.
Some people, yeah, we've got a lot of texts from people who get, boy, most of them got it after one or two of these, but now they're filing in. Almost everybody's getting it.
We have to divulge.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Ruin the secret. Spoiler alert.
Do one more.
Okay.
She likes blue, but she can't stand the opposite?
Yeah, remember?
She likes yellow, but can't stand blue.
Right.
Okay.
Fanny Dooley likes weed, but doesn't like marijuana.
Right. Right.
She likes things with...
She likes Minnie Mouse. She does not like Mickey Mouse.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, we've lost every listener we've ever had.
Yes,
The
key is in the double letter.
Yes, she likes things with double letters.
If it has a double letter in it, big fan. No double letter, not a fan.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
problem solved. Too late for Steve Bertrand, obviously.
Really? That's what we were worried about here?
Fanny Dooley likes Williams, but doesn't like Bertrand.
Yes. But that has nothing to do with the letters. That's just...
Yeah. She likes things with double letters and then not things without back-to-back double letters.
Yes. So we could have saved Fanny Dooley's parents a lot of therapy money had we just told them this at the beginning. Because they spent years trying to get her fixed. And there was no reason to. Everyone's okay.
All right, good to know.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. There's more show ahead. But first, this. It's summer in the Midwest with your air on or your open windows. You're sleeping with sheets and duvets that are just a bit breezier. And the soft sounds are coming in through the window. Oh, it's fantastic. Brooklinen sheets are so comfortable, so beautiful. They give your bedroom an elegant yet relaxed feel. Brooklinen works directly with manufacturers and with customers. There are no middlemen. Fanny Dooley does not like middlemen, just a great product and service. It's right there in their name. You know it's good. It's Brooklinen. Brooklinen's newest linen collection is amazing. I can't recommend their products enough. They're great for graduates, for newlyweds, for friends, for family, or most importantly, just for treating yourself to the bedroom upgrade that you richly deserve. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer only for you, only for our listeners. You get 10% off and free shipping just by using the promo code Bill at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. But this is important. The only way to get your 10% off and free shipping is to use that promo code Bill at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, Brooklinen.com. The promo code is my name. It's Bill. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever.
Trending now.
The search continues for the Humboldt Park alligator today. People spotted.
I don't get how this alligator can be living there.
I mean, because of the,
the prices.
The prices are outrageous. If you're an alligator, you got to work three jobs just to afford a moderately sized house in Humboldt Park.
An exclusive interview with the alligator from Humboldt Park. Now, good morning.
Came up from the coast of Gadsden from University of Florida. Go Gators!
We have to choose a name. We're going to name this stupid alligator.
Allie Alligator.
Hey, Al, how you doing?
I like it better than Croc Obama.
But I didn't think they could live in fresh water.
I don't think that lagoon is very fresh.
No, it's not.
That's a very good point.
Very, very good point.
Chicago stories.
This is the best story of the year in Chicago, as far as I'm concerned.
Told here, 24/7 WGN Radio.
The EPA reports the air we breathe in our home is more polluted than the air outside. The healthy solution? Green Tea Services Air Duct Cleaning.
Service to a green tea.
Hi, this is Tonya Khoury, owner of Green Tea Services. Our Green Tea Air Duct Purification System thoroughly cleans all your intakes, returns, and furnace. You'll breathe fresh, healthier air.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea has the highest BBB rating. Our crews are bonded Green Tea employees you can trust in your home. We'll clean your air ducts of dust and allergens so your family breathes clean air. Now get our $97 special. Yes, only $97. Plus, our 100% satisfaction green tea guarantee. Call Green Tea Air Duct Cleaning now for details. 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea Services. Service to a
green
tea. 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA. Or greenteaservices.com.
The McHenry County Fair began in 1854. It's been an annual event that my family has enjoyed over the years, creating summertime memories to last a lifetime. Learn and teach your children about important current issues surrounding conservation and agriculture, the backbone of McHenry County, with livestock shows and educational displays. There's a carnival, too, of course, and a variety of ground and grandstand entertainment. For instance, if you love pig racing, you'll go ape for the Banana Derby new this year, and along with wood carving, pedal pulls, hay bale throwing, mother-daughter and father-son look-alike contests, you can come join the fun. The McHenry County Fair opens Tuesday, July 30th at noon and runs through August 4th. And if you go online to get your tickets, you'll get a discount. Go to McHenryCountyFair.com. We'll see you there.
I have to thank you, Wendy. You recommended something that I needed to... You said, you need to see this. And I watched it last night, and you were right. I needed to see this. On Netflix, a stand-up comedy special by Aziz Ansari.
Right Now, it's called.
Yeah.
Isn't it one of the best stand-ups you've seen in a long time?
Yes.
You're a former stand-up, so maybe you're seeing it with different eyes.
No, I agree with you, because for those of you who don't know, Aziz Ansari is a stand-up comic and an actor. I guess he would best be known for
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec, mostly, right?
And then he had the Netflix series, which
Master of None,
which I loved.
Yeah,
thought it was great.
But he was one of the many, many names involved in a sex scandal. His a little different from the others. In his case, he had gone out on a date several years ago with a girl who then recounted the story. And said some pretty bad things about him, that he was very forceful, and everybody was trying to determine if what he did was in line. It was obviously out of line, but was it in line with the other names that kept coming up in these other similar scandals? How similar or different was his than others? And with other stand-ups that went back and did stand-up, most notably Louis C.K., they didn't want to address their situation, even though most of what their stand-up was about their life, especially with Louis C.K. He's gone on stage a bunch of times and not addressed it at all, and actually still said some very misogynistic things in his stand-up, with Aziz Ansari, he definitely addresses it more than once in the special.
And but there was, like, we don't know what the outcome of it was. That's what I was telling you. We just know that he learned from it, and he was explaining that how we are 10 years ago hopefully is not how we are now, because right. we all need to learn and grow and be better people.
Right.
It was like, I don't know how to describe it other than it was thought-provoking, it was enlightening, it was funny, it was super funny.
It was very funny. The strange thing was that when addressing it, and he addresses it at almost the very beginning of the show, and then he addresses it at the very end of the show, and he knows it's not exactly a gold mine for comedy to right. talk about this, and he says essentially, you know, a version of that. But it's strange because he gets some applause, and it's hard. It would be hard if I was in that room to applaud at that very moment, because he's talking about how difficult it is for him and was for him to rebound from that. And I'm sure that's true. But then I'm also thinking, but you're not really taking into account the girls' feelings and all this. I would have felt weird applauding at that point. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I don't remember all the details, like they were dating.
I don't know that they were dating so much as that it was a date.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it was a one-time thing where he was under the belief that Moore was part of the deal and she was not, you know?
Yeah. That's what I guess I expected more of an apology.
That's a good point, because I thought that that's where he was going with this, and he never really says, I'm sorry. He talks about how he's a changed person and then illustrates why he is. And he talks about how society needs to reexamine, you know, the things that were okay five or ten years ago are not so okay. And he gives a couple of examples of that, you know, some things on his own show on Parks and Recreation on an episode that he goes, yeah, when I got the script, I'm like, yeah, let's go for this. But now I would go, yeah, I'm not doing this. So there's elements of that, and just the way men should behave and should have behaved for years and years and years, it's now becoming obvious, we better behave that way. That's the way we're supposed to behave.
He makes a great example using The Office, the show The Office, that was yeah. really true. It was really thought-provoking to me. There were a lot of racial things talked about.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good, and it also made me realize how difficult it is to be a stand-up comic right now. I mean, there were people, mainly white, but there were people of all races in the audience, and they were laughing. I mean, it was funny.
Don't you think, though, I don't know how much you analyze when things are or aren't funny and go, why was that funny or why wasn't that funny? But part of that always kicks in with me. And with him, I've always felt that way about him, but I especially felt that way during the special. He's just incredibly honest. You know, I think you go a lot further being honest than you could write the best jokes in the world, and that'll get you someplace. But there's something to be said to just walk out on a stage and just be really, really honest. And that's what he was being.
Wasn't that refreshing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was something I've never seen before, honestly.
Yeah.
It was a weird collection of things in a stand-up routine.
Yeah. It's shot very interestingly, too. It's shot by a guy named Spike Jones, who's a movie director, who shoots it in a very strange way. It's not done in your traditional... There's a very traditional way of shooting stand-up specials, and this is shot very differently. Not entirely from his viewpoint, but a lot of it is, kind of. I mean, the camera's still focused on him. You're still seeing him do stand-up. But in the beginning and the end, especially, as he's approaching the show, as he's coming to the venue where the show is...
That was cool.
...in New York, it's shot more like a movie than it is like a stand-up special.
And it's like a Spike, or the cameraman, that isn't Spike Jones with the cameraman.
No.
He's like side stage.
Yeah, right.
Shooting him, so it's like we're getting his bird's eye view, but we're also getting like a backstage view of it, too. It was really cool. This was in BuzzFeed yesterday, And you probably remember January of 2018. Here's the deal. Aziz Ansari was the subject of a Babe.net article. It alleged he made unwanted sexual advances on a woman after taking her out on a date. In the wake of that article's publication, Ansari wrote in a statement that he took the woman's words to heart and responded privately after taking the time to process what she had said. He then went off the grid for a while and then went back on tour. So we don't really know the outcome of this. He responded privately to her, and I didn't hear any more of it.
Their versions of the story are similar in some ways, but very different. And it mostly boils down to he was under the belief at the time that both of them wanted to engage in certain activity.
It was consensual.
Yeah.
That's according to his view.
Yes. But I do give him credit. I give him high marks. Like I said, I had a hard... During his talk about it, I had a hard time applauding and going, yeah, I'm 100% on your side. I couldn't do that, but I think it was very brave of him to go out and talk about it, not once but twice during the special, because it needed to be addressed, because it would have... It'd be weird to pay for a ticket and see a guy where you go, I don't really agree with what's going on with him off stage, but I'm going to watch his stand-up and applaud for him when I...
Well, don't you think the show really is just about addressing that and moving on?
Big part of it, yes.
Behind him and,
yes.
But I seem to recall him at the beginning saying, I'm sorry that she felt that way.
In the special or off the special? I don't remember him saying it in the special, but I do remember him saying it...
I thought during the special, like it was not an apology, but it was kind of like, I'm sorry things went this way, or I'm sorry she felt this way.
That's alluded to. It is.
So, again, two sides to every story, and I never heard any more of it after this. It did kind of go away.
Yeah.
So, it's just definitely worth a watch, in
without
my opinion.
A doubt. Yeah.
All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand. He is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening right here, 720 WGN.
The numbers are in.
WGN Plus is where Chicago comes for podcasts.
Here's what's going on with WGN Plus. The Crane's Daily Gist is figuring out how to better commit to women in leadership. But that's not just a business problem. That's a world problem. Getting TS and is making networking just better. And Justin Kaufman of Lower Wacker Live has high hopes for Garth Brooks' dive bar tour.
Then I said, I got friends. Hands in low places.
Look them up on WGN Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur. Doing payroll is no longer a headache for our customer, Jeff.
I've used various payroll providers in the past, and none can hold a candle to Patriot Software. Their software is ridiculously easy to use. The support staff is knowledgeable and courteous. I am very excited that Patriot Software files my tax forms for me, not just providing the forms like other payroll companies do. As a business owner, managing payroll has been a long-time headache that I no longer struggle with thanks to Patriot Software. I definitely rate your company 5 out of 5 stars.
Go to PatriotSoftware.com to get your payroll pricing for up to 100 employees. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
PatriotSoftware.com. Accounting and payroll. Keep your time and money.
For help around the house with roofs, windows, kitchens, bathrooms, home additions, and basement remodels, trust the folks at Mega Pros. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to megapros.com.
Are kids better off in an intact family? You bet they are. This is Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Kids living in a household with married parents do better in school. They're emotionally healthier, and they're more likely to stay out of trouble with the law. If you're in a troubled marriage, of course you should do everything you can to save your marriage, if only for your kids' sake. This includes considering alternatives to divorce. Of course, in some circumstances, divorce is unavoidable. In either case, if you're a man facing a crisis in your marriage, let us help you at Cordell & Cordell. Remember, we're the partner men can count on.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Chicagoland area attorneys, a partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Office in Warrenville, Cordell & Cordell, 4320 Winfield Road, Suite 200, Warrenville, Illinois, 60555.
Chicago stories told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Are you a smart speaker user? All you need to do is say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's news time right now, and it's sponsored by the McHenry County Fair. Here with the news is Steve Bertrand.
Mostly cloudy, 78 degrees right now at O'Hare. The National Weather Service has issued a beach hazards advisory today. Look for waves up to 5 feet and strong rip currents, so be careful if you plan on swimming. Harvey Weinstein appeared in court in New York to introduce his third defense team since being arrested last year on sex crime charges. Chicago-based lawyer Donna Rotuno will take over Weinstein's criminal case. Rotuno says there is another side to the story that is not being reported.
I think it's going to be obvious that the relationships had with women in this case were quite consensual, and we have a lot of documentation to back those things up.
But Gloria Allred, who represents some of the many of the women who are accusing Weinstein, sees things differently.
I think it's going to be obvious that the relationships had with women in this case were quite consensual, and we have a lot of documentation to back those things up.
Weinstein did not talk to reporters after today's hearing. Indiana State Police are looking for the person whose backpack was apparently taken by an escaped inmate who was caught. Here's WGN's Ryan Burrow.
Indiana State Police say 39-year-old Travis Hornet was found in a vacant building in Beverly Shores just after midnight. He was arrested without incident after managing to escape the state prison in Michigan City earlier Wednesday. The convicted burglar had been considered dangerous. He'll now face escape and residential entry charges. When Hornet was found, he had a backpack. Investigators think he may have taken it from a local beach. Detectives want anyone who may be missing a backpack and the contents inside to give them a call. Ryan Burrow, WGN. News.
Carnival Cruise Line says it has rerouted a cruise ship headed to New Orleans because of the tropical storm. Tropical Storm Barry formed this morning in the Gulf of Mexico, could become a hurricane as it threatens Louisiana. Here's a sign of a good economy.
Thanksgiving travel last year set records. Then Memorial Day travel this year broke those records. And now the TSA says 4th of July travel hit records again. The TSA reporting it had its busiest day in history on Sunday, July 7th. Almost 2.8 million passengers and crew were screened at airport security checkpoints. The TSA is in its busiest summer travel season ever. Alex Stone, EBC News.
And now, Gator Watch. The search continues, but the alligator that has eluded authorities so far in the Humboldt Park Lagoon continues to swim free. We'll check your money, sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
With dental implants from Eon Clinics, you'll start every day with a smile. Smile and stop trying to hide your mouth. Smile and eat your favorite foods again. The world is a better place when you start smiling again. For a free consultation, call 844-365-SMILE or online at eonclinics.com today. That's eonclinics.com. Dental implants from Eon Clinics. Smile for life.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Black Friday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/small business.
Hello, my name is Jamie Hale, and I started a company with one simple purpose: to make it easier for people to get life insurance. It's important to me because my dad died when I was 11. But because he planned ahead and took out a life insurance policy, my mom, my brother, and I were able to stay in our home, in the community we loved, and who loved us back. Later, it even made it possible for my brother and I to go to college. My dad's simple act of love, a life insurance policy, changed my life. So I started a company to help other people do the same for their families. We're called Ladder. We make it fast and easy for you to apply for term life insurance online. Because at the end of the day, life insurance isn't about you, it's about the people you love.
Apply in minutes at ladderlife.com. Life insurance. It's not about you. Ladder Life Term Policy is issued by Fidelity Security Life Insurance Company, Kansas City, Missouri.
Your money on WGN. The Dow crossed the 27,000 mark today, and it's been up and down, but right now, either side of 27,000, I should say, positive all day, but currently up 198 points at 27,000. 58. The S&P 500 above 3,000, up more than 8 points today. And the NASDAQ, which was in negative territory earlier, is now up 22 points on the day. WGN Sports, another day without baseball as the All-Star break at least wraps up for, I should say, continues for Chicago's teams. There are some games on the schedule, but White Sox back in action at Oakland tomorrow, and the Cubs are home against the Pirates tomorrow afternoon. Let's get a look at traffic. Here's Mary Vandeveld.
Eden's okay in both directions on the Kennedy outbound to the airport. 28 minutes, 35 coming in from O'Hare, 24 from the Edens. Inbound Eisenhower, some police activity going on in the 290 extension at St. Charles in the right lane. 50 in from 53 and about 24 from Mannheim, 34 heading outbound. Stevenson, 32 from the Tri-State, 42 from 355. The inbound Ryan, 25 from 95th. Clear in the Bishop Ford, 57. I-80, watch for some midday road work going on between LaGrange and 57. And also on 355, 53, semi still southbound off to the side at 390. That is being offloaded. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mayor Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, partly cloudy, cooler today, less humid, will be up around 80 degrees for a high, 63 the low tonight, and then sunny and pleasant tomorrow, a high of 86. Right now at O'Hare, it's 78, Midway 80, 77 at Lake Forest, and 75 at Chicago's lakefront. The winds are northeast at 8 miles an hour, and the barometer is steady. I'm Steve Bertrand in the WGN Newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes, right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, I want to make sure that I get this right. There's a story, a very important story today, that is covered in the Patch. Now, is the Patch?
Yeah. That goes to local places. Like, there's a North Suburban Patch. There's a South Suburban Patch. It's the Patch newspaper.
So they, I want to make sure this is right. They'll get a story, and then, like, if it's a big enough story, it won't just run in one local version of the Patch, but they can farm it out to other other towns nearby if they want to, right? That's what the Patch is.
Yeah.
Right? All right. I want to salute a journalist who works for the Patch. Her name is Shannon Antonori, because she wrote this story, and to many people, they might slough a story like this off, but Shannon refused to. She realized the importance of this story, and she went all out. And I love that. I think that's fantastic. Here's the story. You already kind of know a little bit about this because you've worked with me long enough. Today is July 11th, which when you write it out is 7-11.
Oh, yeah, I know what, yeah,
so
I know
you,
what today is.
You know what you get because it's 7-11.
Between 11 and 7, yes.
Between 11 and 7, if you go to 7-11, you get yourself a free Slurpee, a free, like, one-ounce Slurpee.
A one-ounce one?
It's really small. It's very small. It's July 11th, Shannon writes in the Patch, also known as 7-Eleven, and that means it is free Slurpee Day at 7-Eleven stores nationwide, and that includes the Illinois locations, she says.
Is this one of your favorite days?
I would say, yeah. I like Christmas a lot. I like the 4th of July. I like my birthday. But I love 7-Eleven Day, because you get that free one-ounce Slurpee. It's so small.
I don't like Slurpees.
Wendy.
I try.
Come on.
They're too airy. Not enough flavor.
Is that true? Mix it a little. Just mix it up. Put your straw in there and just mix it up a little bit.
It's too fluffy.
Yeah? It says, annually, the chain celebrates its birthday with free Slurpees for all. Every person who visits 7-Eleven may receive a free Slurpee drink to celebrate the brand's birthday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Today, Thursday, July the 11th. Now, here's where it gets good. Here's where Shannon says, I'm going to make this story my own. I love this.
All right.
During 7-Eleven Day, the chain estimates it will give away 9 million free small Slurpee drinks.
Wow.
There are more than 320 7-Eleven locations in Illinois, including Algonquin, Arlington Heights, Aurora, Bartlett, Batavia, Bolingbrook, Buffalo Grove, Burbank, Cary, Chicago, Chicago Ridge, Crest Hill, Crystal Lake, Deerfield, Des Plaines, Downers Grove, Elgin, Elmhurst, Evanston, Evergreen Park, Forest Park, Frankfort, Geneva.
We Glendale get the point,
Heights.
Kind of. I don't
she
know how long
leave
you were.
Out.
I don't
See,
know how long you wanted me to let you go.
I just think that that's great that she could have said, you know, visit your participating 7-Eleven, see if they're in on this. But she said, I got that. What time is it? I got the day. I'll just write them all out.
Is LaGrange on there? Can you look?
LaGrange, there are two locations in LaGrange. Shannon, by the way, also makes a little box where you pick the city, and it tells you how many 7-Elevens are in that particular city.
Wow.
The leader, well, Chicago, obviously, the leader with 110. That's pretty good. Schaumburg has 4.
Wow.
And Glendale Heights also has 4. Oh, Aurora, 7.
Aurora's big. Aurora, you got to have 7.
That's Slurpee Town. We call that Slurpee Town.
You know how you enter a town like Brookfield, I think, was Tree City, USA?
Yes.
You enter Aurora, and it's
You are
says,
now entering Slurpee Town. Prepare to get a brain pain.
I just, there. It's kind of like the snow that falls that's real light and fluffy that
yes.
just falls off your shovel. I like the heart attack snow to drink, not to shovel.
Oh, interesting.
You know, where it's like a slush puppy is more
yes.
concentrated. It's not so light and airy.
Right, true. Right, so it's the consistency
yeah.
that bothers you.
Yeah, it's just too, it's like eating air, frozen air.
Yep. That was their original, that was their tagline
I'm
original.
Glad they went with Slurpee
Come
instead.
Taste our air.
Well,
interesting.
Are you going to go get your 1 ounce Slurpee?
Yeah, at some point.
Is a 1 ounce like a Vicks it's NyQuil
bigger,
cup?
I have to say, it is bigger than a 1 ounce, but it's not dramatically bigger than 1 ounce. It's just a little bit bigger. But, you know, their goal is obviously just to make you remember how good they are, or in your case, how much you don't quite like them, and to say, boy, next time I'm around, I'm going to get a bigger one.
They should give you a free small one.
Well, they call it a small, but it's smaller than the regular small.
Yeah. But it's not
it's
a Vicks NyQuil
size.
Cup size. It's a little bigger than that.
A little
Dixie
bit.
Riddle cup?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's more like that. All right. Something else to discuss, Wendy.
Yes.
The jobs that no longer exist.
Get a job.
The other day, everybody here at WGN went to a meeting, and they had a man explain to us that things are not just changing, but they're changing very, very fast.
Wasn't that sort of scary?
Yes.
I mean, like, super yes. fast.
Yeah.
And you gotta, you know, stay with the change, roll with the changes.
Right.
And
Howard Tullman was the man's name, and he explained to us that
it was awesome.
If you're having a hard time catching up now, get ready, because life is like a car race. You know, if you ever watch a car race, the other cars that are going fast aren't going to slow down and wait for you. They're going to speed ahead. So you should also probably figure out ways to speed ahead. And he's right.
Although I feel like you were more afraid than I was, because you're not that technologically
advanced.
You mean
because I was shivering in the corner and crying?
Maybe.
Yes. Because it was like a speech that was designed especially for me, because he was being polite and he was saying, you know, there's so much technology and you better keep up with it, because this is the easiest it's going to be. It's going to get harder before it gets easier. To which I went,
yeah,
I'm afraid. I'm very afraid. So these are all a bunch of jobs, Wendy, that at some point you went, hey, I do this for a living. I got a job for life. The one I always think of is, there was a time when I was a kid where we would come downtown, and if you went in a building and you got in an elevator,
yep.
there was an elevator operator.
What floor?
Yeah.
Floor, please?
Yeah.
And that couldn't have been that fun of a job.
It would have to be a boring job. But don't you think there was some job security in it, and now
we
most
can
of your
do
major
it ourselves.
Colleges, you can't major in elevator operations.
Unless you're Otis.
That's the only way.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't needed.
Well, I remember as a kid, I'd say to my mom, like, we would go to a building. Like, I remember there was one, her doctor's office was on the 6th floor. And every time we'd go there, we'd get in, and there was a guy who looked like he just wanted to go to sleep. He didn't want to. He would just be, like, teetering on being awake or asleep. And my mom would go, 6, please. And he'd go, 6. And then he'd pull a crank, and we'd go up to 6. And then I'd say to my mom, we could do that. Couldn't we just pull the crank and go up to 6? And she'd go, oh, no.
So there wasn't a button?
He had a lever.
Oh, then they needed an elevator operator, because he operated the elevator. Once buttons came into fashion, we didn't
buttons
need those
Buttons ruined
people.
It for those guys.
Or button. Button.
Yeah.
A lot of people. Why? It, no.
It's pronounced button. You're right. All right, so here's a bunch of jobs, Wendy, that at some point people went, hey, I am set for life because I'm this, but no. Leech collector.
Excuse me?
Leech collector. In the mid-1800s, when medical professionals believed that bloodletting could cure an illness or a disease, and that's true.
Yeah, that is. It would just suck your blood, kind of like a blood transfusion. Yes. It would suck out the bad blood.
Yeah, but they used those leeches. They'd put leeches on you, and the leeches would pull your blood.
So the leeches are out of work?
Well, the leeches, they have found, you know, summer jobs, but the people who were the collectors of the leeches...
Oh.
Leech collectors were responsible, it says, for retrieving the blood-sucking insects from their natural habitat for doctors to use. People with this job would use the legs of animals or even their own legs to attract leeches from rivers and creeks. Eventually, medical research advanced and this profession became obsolete.
That is a conscientious worker. Here's my leg. Gather around, fellow leeches.
I don't know. I would think even in the mid-1800s, if you were a leech collector, you should probably have had a plan B. I don't mean B-B-E-E.
Right, I know.
I mean the letter B.
Well, what's your alternate plan? Dangle your dog or cat down there? And I mean, you'd have to get them to come up to you.
Yeah. I don't want to give away any secrets of the leech collectors. All right, hold on. There's more of these. Here's an interesting one. I didn't even know this job existed. If I told you, now, I'm going to explain to you what the title is, and you're going to guess, but you'll be wrong.
All right.
What was a knocker-upper? If you had the job of being a knocker-upper, what was your role in society?
Well, not impregnating someone.
No, but that would seem right, but it's not.
A knocker-upper.
Yeah.
I have a
this
build,
would be
builder?
In the mid-1800s.
These jobs have been out of fashion for a while.
There were still a couple
knocker-uppers. Can we do some in the 1900s?
The last knocker-uppers just now hung up their tools. They just now decided it's not a good job anymore.
A builder. Or somebody who builds buildings.
No. Here's what a knocker-upper was. Before the alarm clock, there were human alarm clocks. People would hire knocker-uppers to tap on the glass of a window with a long pole or to shoot peas at the glass of the window in order to wake the person up inside.
Is that the beginning of a pea shooter?
I don't know if it was the beginning, but I think that probably a lot of pea shooters were sold with that intent. The job eventually fell to the wayside when the mechanical alarm clock was invented in the year 1847. So they show a picture of a guy, and he's walking down the street, and he has a pole, and he would just tap on the windows of his clients at a certain time.
Well, how else would you get up? That's a good idea.
Right. There was no other way to do it.
Wow. That's wild.
Right. Now, again, this is from a long time ago. You're right. There should be a branch that's fairly recently.
Like jobs that have been around since we've been born?
That would be better. Town crier. That's in medieval times. Now, this. All right, here's one. They used to have this when I was a kid. A scissors grinder.
Oh, we still have one.
You still do?
Swear to God. It's a little cart. He goes around. He was just...
A guy with a mustache.
I don't know, right? If it's the same guy. I can't imagine it
we
is.
We used to have a guy with a mustache who did it. Big mustache.
This guy has a big
mustache.
Like a
Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
One.
This guy came to Brookfield when I was growing up because I know you'd hear the bell and you'd run out with your knives, which is very...
Seems safe.
I know. But everybody would run out with their knives and scissors, and this guy just had this wheel that ground it.
Yeah.
And I just, he was just in LaGrange like several months ago.
Still now.
And about 3 years ago, I made Jim run down the street with the knives and said, get my knife
sharpened.
You're running
quickly with the knives to the scissor grinder.
Well, he's steadier on his feet than I am, so I let him do it. But that guy's still around, or these people.
Good for him. Because according to this, it says the practice became obsolete in the 1970s because people found it easier and cheaper to just buy new tools instead of sharpening their old ones. That's what ruined the scissor grinding industry.
But I got to tell you, you can also go to your hardware store. Most places that make keys also can sharpen your knives because I have expensive knives that are so dull and I was just going to buy more.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go get them sharpened.
Yeah.
It was $6 for all of
for
my
everything?
Knives. They're like brand new.
Wow.
Brand
That's
new.
That's pretty good.
That's my little frugal tip to save you money today.
All right. We'll take a break and then more professions that existed back in the 1300s that no longer do. It's hard to believe. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. And you got to work for a living. That's what you have to do. Bill was talking about jobs that are no longer with us. And you mentioned a knocker-upper, which I didn't know anything about.
I never knew such a thing existed, Wendy. But back in the 1800s, it was common practice because we didn't have alarm clocks yet. So a guy would walk down the street with both a big stick and a pea shooter. So it depended on, I guess one was a more premium service. Maybe one was an extra penny a week more. And he would, you know, you'd say, you know, I got to get up at 7:30 a.m. So he would come to your window with a giant stick, and he would just tap on your window to wake you up or shoot a pee at your window.
Somebody wants to know, what did that guy do if he had two clients that wanted to wake up in the same time, at the same time, but lived a mile apart?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer
to that.
But
the question of the century is, who woke up the knocker-upper?
I don't know. He just stayed up. They just found a guy that was always wired.
And the knife sharpener on cart was around Evanston on Monday. It's still out there.
Wow, they're still doing it.
If you wanted to snooze for 10 minutes, do you then just throw a shoe?
Yeah, that's your snooze alarm, your early version of a snooze alarm. Do you know about this job? This job was a real thing until the 1930s, a deer culler.
Uh-uh.
The government was concerned about the rise in the deer population, and so they hired professional deer cullers to hunt the deer and slow their spread.
So killers.
Essentially killers. They called them cullers because it's...
Sounds nicer.
Sounds nicer somehow,
hey,
doesn't it?
Hey, kids, do you want a culler?
Right.
Or do you want a killer?
Right. Culler, please. This is one I'm sure your grandmother explained to you at some point in the early days of refrigerators. You had to put a giant block of ice.
Hence the name.
Ice men.
No, or ice cutters. Ice box.
Ice box, yeah.
That's what it was.
Yep.
And they had that those prongs that picked it up and they'd deliver a
giant chunks of ice. We had in the apartment that I lived in before the house that I now live in, there was a chute in the back. The back staircase had a chute, and they would bring the ice, the giant chunks of ice, up and down in that chute. There would be like a pulley, and you'd move it up and down the three floors.
That's a dumbwaiter.
That's not nice, Wendy.
That's what it was called.
A man is trying to make a living.
A dumb waiter. Yes. Honestly, that's how you would
bring...
You know
who we married? Lazy Susan.
They probably have the best kids ever.
Yep.
Oh, you are just something else.
How about this? A food taster.
Tell Phil Vitale that.
Well, it's not at all what a food critic does, but a food taster's job was just to simply eat the food before... royalty did, in case somebody tried to poison the food, so that that guy would die.
How much did you get paid for that? Because that's a pretty risky
right.
job.
I want more money if I'm a food taster.
The good news is, tonight is Chateaubriand, your favorite meal. The
right.
bad news is, it may kill you.
Right. This one's eerie. I had heard of this, but I didn't know this existed. In the 18th century, they had people who were resurrectionists. It says, as modern medical science grew into a true profession in the 18th century, so too did the demand for corpses. Medical students and practicing anatomists needed bodies to dissect to learn the inner workings of the human body, and so resurrectionists were happy to oblige. They would dig up freshly buried bodies and then deliver them for a fee to medical colleges and to doctors' offices. You see this a lot in horror movies. But it was an actual thing. They were essentially grave robbers.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like the family agreed. Now there are people that donate their bodies to science.
Right.
I would like to donate my body to home ec. That's science.
I donated mine to science fiction. Still waiting to hear back. This is one you see in old movies, and I always thought that even though I'm not a fan of it, I always thought this was so glamorous, and you would have been a great one, Wendy, a cigarette girl at a nightclub.
Oh, thank you. They usually were very attractive girls with a feather maybe on their hair.
Almost always a feather on the hair. And
fishnet,
you know what they would
stockings.
Say? They had a very particular spiel that they would say. Cigars, cigarettes, cigars, cigarettes.
So you're it'd be more like cigars, cigarettes.
Yeah,
cigars,
I would have loved
cigarettes.
Wait, let Mary go.
No.
That sounds so, that sounded great. And I don't smoke at all. But
what else did they
you do, Mary.
They were very attractive women that had that little, it looked like suspenders, but it held like a tray.
Right.
Filled with cigars, cigarettes.
Yeah.
Oh, Mary, you should...
You should apply.
That was good, too, Wendy.
Well, Mary, you have to teach, like, a little workshop on how
That'd
to be sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got me so far in this world.
All right, a break.
We should... Are there more?
Are more. You want to do them on the stream?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. We'll do them in a half an hour during the bonus hour. Thanks, Jen. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is our friend Patrick McDonald, film critic.
Hello,
I'm going to say esteemed film critic. Would that bother you? Yes. Esteemed film critic.
As that profession is going away, too.
For HollywoodChicago.com. No,
that's, no, it isn't.
It's never going to go away. It's... Tour guide over at Chicago Film Tours. How's business? Are things good over at Chicago Film Tours?
It's been a rough summer, sir.
Oh, no. Well,
but
it's been cold.
The weather's getting better, so I'm optimistic that it will pick up.
Can I just tell you, there has been so much rain going on that no one's really thinking about going touring of the city.
Yeah.
So
we'll change all that.
We will. We'll change it for you. I'm going this sometime this summer. I will be on one.
Very good.
All right. Now, here's something I have to ask you.
Yeah.
I've heard several people who do what you do. They're film critics. And they say, boy, the summer of 2019 is really not shaping up the way we had hoped. Is that true or not true?
That's an interesting question. I are you saying critically or box office?
In terms of both.
Attendance is down, isn't it?
People going
10% down, yeah.
And the fact that they really haven't, in other summers, you see almost a blockbuster every other week, and this year, not really.
Well, again, I think, as far as my observation is concerned, it's about product. There's so much product out there.
Yeah.
The next big thing, the next big thing, the next big thing. You know, Lion King's opening next week. We already had Aladdin.
Yeah.
You know,
but Aladdin didn't do what they were hoping, did it?
No, not really.
Because we've seen it 20 other times.
Yeah. And again, you take Robin Williams out of the equation in that movie, and you don't have a movie. And that's basically what happened. I mean... Will Smith was fine. He gave it the old college try, but he's not Robin Williams.
It's creepy.
By a long shot. It was creepy.
So with Disney, when they've tried a couple of these where they take animated classics and they make them live action, it's been hit and miss. Jungle Book was really, really good.
Yes.
But some of them have not been quite what they had hoped. So knowing that, what are their thoughts for Lion King? Are they a little nervous about it?
I think they're nervous. You're talking about making cartoon animals alive. You know, you're talking about taking a lion in a zoo and making him talk.
Yeah.
How do you give expression to that face? You know,
right.
how does it with Seth Rogen coming out of a warthog? Is that something I want to see? question yourself before you go in. With that, but I think spoiler alert, I have seen the movie, so it's just you have to take it as it goes. This live action stuff is really strange to me.
Yeah,
the next one's Mulan. I guess they're in production for that. And
are they just gonna remake everything?
Yeah, it seems like a cash grab, really.
Yeah,
because they have the surefire story. The marketing doesn't have to be extensive because everybody knows
what
Little
you're getting.
Mermaid. Yeah, exactly. So it's for the modern times. We just don't want to do anything new to have to try to, convince a distracted audience to go someplace.
Controversy with the casting on Little Mermaid.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because it's an African American girl playing
Ariel.
So?
People panicked.
It's just
people said we've seen a Little Mermaid and it's a white mermaid a white mermaid. How come now you've cast an African American mermaid? To most of us, it makes sense. You go, well, we went with the person we thought was best for the role, but for other people, it's like, uh-oh.
Geez, the next thing you're going to tell me is Jesus was white.
Yeah. Yep.
Look no at all calls the, or letters.
Look at
folks.
All the calls. So I know there's a Tarantino movie that's getting.
Yes.
So that's coming down. That Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is getting a lot of talk. But other than that, is there any movie or two around the corner that could turn the tide for the summer?
There's an adaptation of a Scary Stories book, Scary Stories to Tell, in the
Lights are out.
When the lights
like
are right, yeah. right, and that's a beloved series, so that could be the savior of August.
Mm-hmm.
But August is really a dump zone, so expect a lot of scary movies that didn't make it into the October rotation,
I have a question. So. Isn't August is back to school? You feel like it's the last hurrah before kids go back. Shouldn't that be a time where you put a great movie out?
Yeah, you would think.
I think the philosophy is that everybody's distracted in August. They're either on vacation. Well, vacation
No, I think
would
vacation
make sense.
Is summer.
Yeah, it would make sense that on vacation, you go to the movies.
You wanted to talk about, and it kills me that I've not seen this movie yet. I'm dying to see this movie yesterday.
Yeah.
But you wanted to talk about the mere fact that they got the rights to all these Beatles songs. The Beatles have always been very, very stingy about lending their music to film, but not this time around. How come?
Well, it turns out that Working Title, the production company, had a deal with Sony and Apple beforehand for these songs. So they were able to negotiate a certain list of songs with flexibility, meaning that as they were doing the movie, they could move them around a bit if they had to. But it had to be the most familiar songs, because obviously you're gonna want to introduce those into the world at first. So my question was, during that time, which song, you know, would you introduce first that we talked about? So
that's a great question. Yeah. So if people don't know the premise of this movie yesterday... Right. Just give enough to make this question a more viable option.
Okay, so it's one individual who goes through a wormhole, basically, and when he comes out the other side, nobody has heard of the Beatles. So he is a musician, he remembers the songs, so how does he introduce them to the world, basically? That's the...
So your question is, if that were to really happen...
Right.
What would be the one Beatles song that you would spring upon the world for them to say, wow, this is good stuff?
And you have to remember, the music industry is so different. You know, you're not, it's not a guaranteed hit anymore. No, but nothing's a guaranteed hit. So how do you get through that, you know, layers and layers of YouTubing and, Spotify and Pandora and
Apple
Music?
What do you think? What would be the song that you would throw out there to say, hey, this is great music?
In my life. If we're doing Beatles songs or any song of all time.
No, it has to be Beatles song.
No, that's
Beatles my favorite.
And I think because there's so many forms you can take with that, and because the words are so poignant, I think that's a really good... I actually thought Hey Bulldog, because...
Really, yeah?
Because it's
rocking.
Right, it's rocking, and it also has such a hook that you can put in different formats and still get something out of it.
I could see it as a hip-hop song.
Yeah. I really can.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I would think Let It Be would stand a good chance. I would think the song Yesterday, which is, I haven't seen the movie, but I'm guessing it plays a prominent role.
It's like one of my least favorite Beatles songs.
Is it? Yeah.
It's kind of overplayed, actually.
Maybe that's it.
Then I'll go with Maxwell Silverhammer.
The obvious, I'm up for that. Maybe I'd pick Piggies.
Oh, yeah, that's a pretty universally loved. Yeah.
Have you seen the little piggies?
The other question I wanted to ask you was, why is one of the characters from Toy Story's Toy?
This is interesting.
The character is Forky.
Forky.
And in the movie, again, I don't want to give too much away, but there is a character in the movie that is just basically a fork with eyes on it.
Exactly. It's sort of a homemade toy.
Yeah.
And it's a spork, so it has...
Why isn't it Sporky? Why isn't his name Sporky?
Because they didn't think people would understand that. Isn't that interesting? Like, if you say Sporky, you're like, what? But if you say Forky, fork character.
Yeah. It bothers me. It should be Sporky.
It should be Sporky.
They changed Sonic the Hedgehog. They should change the name of this character.
So they made a toy version, but it's been recalled.
Well, this is interesting. It's not... You would assume, okay, the pointy things on the...
The prongs?
That's not good for kids. But no, it's a plush toy, and the googly eyes come off. So.
Oh. All right. So they've all been recalled.
Bring
in your choking hazard.
Yep.
Choking hazard.
Bring in your forkies. Exactly. All right, we'll take a quick break.
Careful.
Then more with Patrick McDonald.
He never had that when we were kids.
Nope, we didn't.
We just got strangled with the googly eyes.
Right. It was so much easier then. More after this. Bill and Money, WGN. Wendy is holding me up over her head, just like in the movie.
Have you gained weight?
Patrick McDonald is here, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. Tour guide at Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com for more information.
Yep.
You mentioned that you've already seen this new version of The Lion King. What did you think? What did you come away thinking?
Well, I basically what I was talking about. It just seemed odd to me to be... The embargo's off, so I can talk freely.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was odd to have real animals talking, you know. It
took you out of it?
It did. It took me out of it. It did. But it's beautiful.
But you've seen
it's
that in other movies.
Film.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, the Jungle Book that was out a year or two ago, did that bother you then?
I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it? Oh, all right.
I've seen Francis the Talking Mule.
Yeah, there's a great example.
You go. And Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed, of course.
Hello.
So, now, so
it just becomes too unbelievable once an animal starts talking. You go, I'm out.
Well, it's not that. It's just that story and that context and that Africa setting. You know, I'm sure Jungle Book was a little more free form and
not that much.
Okay,
I mean, it stayed kind of true to the 60s version of Jungle Book. But I thought it was great.
Yeah, it got raves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Just okay.
Just okay. Three out of five for me.
All right. I'm going to ask you about some movies. Some of them a little bit obscure, right? But you've put them on your list of things that are coming out this weekend. What is Stuber? I've never heard of this.
Stuber is a buddy picture.
Yeah.
With
what is a buddy picture?
Two friends get off on a misadventure somehow.
Right. Kumail Nanjiani is Stu, a Uber driver. Therefore, Stuber. Stuber. He has.
I hope you didn't ruin the end of the movie.
He runs.
Is that how the movie ends?
He runs into Vic Manning, played by Dave Bautista, who had done.
Oh yeah.
He
Guardians of Drax the
Galaxy. From Guardians of the Galaxy and was an ex-wrestler. And so he recruits his Uber vehicle to take him around on this case in L.A. With a plot that was straight out of the 80s. It's a heroin dealership. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In Koreatown. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, Kumail is so funny. He's a funny guy.
He's pretty funny.
And he just kind of comments on everything. So that's the highlight of the movie. But the plot is so cranky. Ugh.
A little thin?
Yeah, very thin, and it's too much going on to keep straight. Very weird, and it celebrates the gun with ultraviolence. So there we go, straight out of the headlines.
So not a fan of this movie.
It's I am a fan. Three out of five.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Three out of five. Oh. But you know, you ignore the plot in the summer sometimes. You know, you're just going for a laugh. Nanjiani provides a laugh.
And that is Stuber. What is
Stuba?
Maiden.
Maiden is the true story of the first all-woman crew in 1989 to participate in the Whitbread round-the-world sailboat race. I'd never heard of this thing. Mm-hmm. I guess it goes out of Australia. The trials and tribulations are always interesting, but the best thing is when you're on a sailing boat, you need a crack team, right? So this all-woman team, the first one, they were the best of the best in the world. They were the ones that wanted to go on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty amazing story because they're pretty good. And, everybody dismisses them as usual when you're the first.
Because they're women or just because?
In a sense, because they're women, because it's such a physical sport.
Oh, okay.
You know, sailing the boat through the rough seas. So today I'm posting an interview with the skipper of that, Tracy Edwards.
The actual skipper.
The actual skipper.
How old is she today?
She was in her late 20s in 89, so just
Do the math. I didn't know how far back this went with the sailing.
So
any big name actresses that we would recognize in this movie?
It's not a narrative film. It's a doc.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I bet it's great. That I love documentaries.
Yeah. It's fun. It's interesting. I mean, it's against all odds.
And that's Maiden.
Maiden.
All right. And then another movie.
And I only bring this up. It's going to be, it's called Cooked Survival by Zip Code. I only bring it up. It's going to play 2 weeks at the Gene Siskel because it's about the 1995 Chicago heat wave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And how people in certain zip codes were the victims of it. Because
the refrigerated trucks that year,
right? The refrigerated trucks.
That's unforgettable.
It really is. And so this movie talks about that, and they talk about in the context of disaster preparedness. Because of course, Chicago, when the horse leaves the barn, you always get a plan together afterwards.
Sure.
And their plan actually became a model for other cities. So it had a pretty good ending, but. It ended up there were 760 deaths just from people locking their doors and windows and the temperature getting that high. And the director, presupposes that what if we took that disaster preparedness money and actually went to these poverty-stricken neighborhoods and made them better.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a better way to, instead of anticipating something,
right,
let's do something now. So a very interesting thesis for a film. That's 2 weeks at the Siskel. The director's going to be there a lot, so go to siskelfilmsare.org for details.
There's a text, and it's an interesting question because here's a movie that I don't even know if it's in wide release yet. Maybe it is. But it was playing film festivals, and it was getting so much positive feedback and negative feedback at the exact same time. A movie called Midsummer. Have you seen this yet?
I have.
Is it already out in theaters or not
yet?
Yes,
it is. Last week it came out. That is my number one film of the year so far.
Wow.
It is so crazy.
Right? I haven't seen it yet. Would you admit that you can't recommend it to everybody?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's not for everybody. You know, it has to do with your twisted view of the world, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because here are these younger folks who are going through some psychological crises going to a Midsummer Fest in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly we're in Sweden, and we're at a Midsummer.
It's a plot line we've seen 1,000 times.
Bob Hope, I'll take Sweden.
Right.
So... So they're there, and it's a Midsummer Fest that only takes place once every 90 years. So mm-hmm. you do the math. There's going to be some funky stuff going
mm-hmm.
on. And that's really what it's about. And it's really about human nature.
Somebody said I had to wash my eyes and my mind afterwards.
Yeah,
it's so funny because the people would play all these film festivals, all these really high-end film festivals, and there'd be people walking out just going, what am I watching? And then other people at the end of the movie go, that's one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life.
All right, I have to see it now.
Guy who wrote it and directed it is Ari Aster. That's the man's name.
Yes.
He made a movie called Heredity a couple years ago that, of all the movies I've ever seen, I've never seen a movie that I loved at the beginning.
Right,
and then the longer the movie went, I'm like, 4 stars, 4 stars, that 3.5 stars, 3 stars, 2.5 stars, 2 stars. As the movie went on and on and on, it's like, do you remember how great this movie was in the beginning? What happened to your movie?
Well, actually, that made my top 10 that year.
Did it?
And,
yeah.
Also, I just felt like, again, you make a decision for the ending of the film. It became a little more supernatural.
Yes.
And I think that's what bothered people about it because it seemed to have a basis in reality, and then it suddenly became more exorcist-like.
Does he follow suit with this movie, with Midsummer? Is it the same kind of thing where...
There's not so much magical realism in it as just the whole nature of, if we have a tribe, what traditions do the tribe use to make sure that the tribe maintains itself.
Interesting.
All right, now I have to see Hereditary, too.
Oh, yeah. Turn the lights down.
See, you know, it's
so weird. Is it going to scare me too much?
It's very scary.
It is scary.
I will give it that. Even though, in the end, I wasn't happy with it, I will admit, it's a very, very scary movie. Extremely creepy, but it's just so sad that it started out so great, and then as the movie went on, and that's my opinion, Patrick.
Yeah.
I know it made your top 10, but... Oh, I love the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then...
That's it?
Yeah. It's very psychological. It's really about family and what is passed along in families. And
I gotta see that.
But it will scare you, I guarantee.
I was gonna watch Us this weekend, because I haven't seen that.
That's
I can't
great.
Handle two in a row of those, right?
Pace yourself on the... Yeah, take a little time in between.
Yeah. Two very creepy films.
Yeah, no question. Patrick, great to see you.
Awesome.
Again, chicagofilmtour.com or hollywoodchicago.com. You can find Patrick at either one of those.
Great.
Have a great weekend.
Cheers.